Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Amerigo Resources conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to the company general counsel, Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the first quarter 2008 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Ltd. on Thursday, May 8, 2008. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Fortunately, today, Mr. Stephen Dean, our chairman, will not be with us as he is away attending to a personal family matter. But I would like to introduce our president, Dr. Klaus Zeitler, and our CFO, Ms. Aurora Davidson.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, everybody. As you know, we reported for the first quarter earnings of $6.4 million, which compares with $5.1 million in the first quarter of 2007. This translates to 7 cents per share in this first quarter versus 6 cents in the first quarter of 2007. These earnings are the result of higher production and compared to last year, and strong copper prices. The copper price in the first quarter of 2008 was $3.56, and in the first quarter of 2007, it was $2.96. The production was 7.8 million pounds of copper, and 148,670 pounds of molybdenum. This represents an increase in copper of 23% versus Q1 2007, and in molybdenum it represents an increase of 20%, and this was due mainly to higher molybdenum content in the fresh tailings. The production increase in copper in Q1 2008 was mainly due to better production from the old tailings, where we have been extracting tailings in the amount of 11,000 to 13,000 tons during that quarter. Despite these significantly higher production results and the higher prices, the quarter was heavily impacted adversely impacted by unprecedented high power costs. The power costs in Q1 2008 amounted to a total of $13.9 million. And that is compared to only $3.6 million in Q1 2007, an increase of over $10 million in the quarter. And this, of course, significantly reduced earnings. The power costs in our operation are significantly higher than in normal mining operations, and so high power costs impact us negatively. Cash costs for the quarter increased to $2.51, and the versus $1.47 in Q1 2007, and the increase is basically entirely due to these higher power costs. And the same, of course, is true with respect to our total cost, which increased to $3.34 compared to $2.03 in Q1 2007. Cash flow from operating activities was $2.2 million or 2 cents in the first quarter of 2008 versus significantly higher cash flow of $7.2 million or 8 cents in Q1 2007. And that is mostly due to an increase of over $9 million in accounts receivable from higher production and stronger copper prices. As you know, our sales price is not determined immediately when we produce or when we sell our product, as this is the normal course of operation in the mining industry. As you also know, the company has taken very early on the strategic decision to become substantially energy self-sufficient, and we took that decision early on when it became clear that Chile is running into an energy crisis. We bought two used 10-megawatt generators, and these generators had to be transported from China to Chile. They are in Chile, and they are on their way now to the plant. We experienced significant delays in the transportation of these generators, first from China to the port in China, then from the port to Chile, and now also from the port in Chile to the plant site. We also have experienced some cost increases, and we are now estimating the total cost to be $14 million, a little bit over $14 million. The environmental approvals have not yet been received, but this process is in the final stages, and we are expecting to receive the environmental approvals before the end of this month. Cash payments for capital expenditures, and that is mainly for the construction of the base and the foundations and all the auxiliary facilities for the generators in Q1 2008 were $6.8 million. And this is funded, of course, from operating cash flow, from the operating cash flows in this quarter and last quarters. On February 27, we declared a dividend of $6 million or 6.5 cents per share, and that dividend was paid on April the 2nd. However, it is already included in the first quarter results because the dividend amount, the funds, had to be transferred to the transfer agent before April 2nd. We did that on March 30th, so to ensure that the dividend payment can be made on a timely basis. Our cash balance at the end of the quarter was just short of $11 million. After the $6.8 million for capital expenditures and the $6 million for dividend payments. In the meantime, that cash balance has improved again, and by the end of April, we had significantly more cash. The company recorded a $4.5 million other comprehensive loss, which is not part of the income statement, and that loss comes from the fair value adjustments of our strategic investments in Candente and in Los Andes. The value of these investments right now stand at about the book value. I also want to make a short statement with respect to Q2 production. Q2 production has been adversely impacted up to now due to the effect of the labor disruption caused as a result of the dispute between Codelco and the workers of subcontractors who are providing services to the Codelco mines, and this also included El Teniente. We have both in April and in May had significant downtime because of this labor disruption. So Q2 production will be impacted from that. We understand that this situation is now basically solved, and right now we are getting back to normal production, which we should reach at MVC at the beginning of next week. These are the statements which I would like to make, and I'm now turning the floor open to questions.
Thank you. We'll now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making a selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, you may press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Tom Mayer from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Hi, Klaus. The power plant, if you do get the permits by the end of this month, how quickly can you switch on and use your power?
We now think that it will certainly take us to the end of the third quarter, so we are hoping that in the fourth quarter we'll have some power from these generators.
What does that do to your power cost? Should we assume half of the 30 cent per kilowatt hour that you're presently paying?
If you assume that the oil price will stay at where it is right now, yes, then it would be less than half.
Okay. And then as far as production goes in 2Q, should we just assume it's two-thirds of the first quarter production as a rough guess of where you're headed for this quarter?
I would hope that it is significantly better.
Uh-huh.
Because as you know, normally our first quarter is, from a production point of view, a low quarter because we have, first of all, the 5 or 6 days of downtime at the beginning of the year due to the annual maintenance program that El Teniente is performing in the first few days of of January, and then we have a short month in February. So so that always affects the first quarter. So with the disruption in April and May, I would still hope that we are better than two-thirds in comparison to the first quarter.
Okay, and then it's come up a number of times over the last few weeks. Is there a risk of a dividend cut from Amerigo given the current high price of energy environment?
Well, I mean, that is something that the directors will have to decide. But as I said, you know, our cash balance has significantly increased again in April. You know, when the generators, as you have asked, when the generators are working, we will have significant cost reductions. I would still hope that that we can retain our dividend, but that will have to be looked at the time when that dividend is to be declared.
Okay, and then finally, Kaliwe's production ramp up 11 to 13,000 tons in the first quarter. Do you have an opinion as to where that production run rate will be by the end of this year?
This depends to a significantly to the delivery of the high pressure pumps, which we are expecting in the last quarter of this year. If there are any delays, then the increase will be not too great from the 13,000-14,000. We may be able to be at something like 20,000. If we get these high pressure pumps, and they are very specialized pumps, in time, then toward the end of the third quarter, we could see a significant increase. Otherwise, that would only come in the first quarter of 2009.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much, Klaus.
Thank you. Our next question is from Raymond Goldie from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and hello, Klaus. My question concerns Collie West again. I was wondering if during times when El Teniente is on strike, if you're still able to, if that disrupts in any way your ability to extract stored tailings as feed.
Ray, it would not be a problem to extract the tailings, but there is a minimum flow of tailings which you need in the conduction channel, because if you don't have a minimum flow, you will get sanding in the channel, and that of course would then disrupt the future flow. So that level is significantly higher than what we are producing or what we can produce from Colibas at this point.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Tim Wan from Chicago. Please go ahead.
Hi, Klaus. In past quarters, you guys have released an exact figure as far as your per kilowatt hour energy expense, and I know Tom mentioned that it might be something like 30 cents. Do you have a more exact figure for that?
We have the figures. I mean, they are just awful. In the first quarter, the figure was 33 cents.
33 cents?
Yeah. Now, that is not exactly the power cost of that quarter. What happened in that quarter is that we got some delayed invoice from our power provider because there was a problem with the metering, which started Aurora, it was June last year?
June of last year,
yes. So during the period of June last year to the end of last year, due to this metering problem, we had additional costs from last year. So the actual costs were a little bit lower. They would come in at about 30 cents or just under 30 cents for the quarter.
Okay.
And the costs are continuing to be in that range up to now.
Okay, and on the specialized pumps that you mentioned for the Kalua's Pond, are those already in transit? Have you already ordered them, or is that still waiting?
No, they are ordered, but they are manufactured in Germany at this point.
Okay, so they're not already being shipped?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Stephen Aldridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Klaus. Just about the Kalua's, I understand then that you don't do any producing when there is nothing coming down the chute from El Teniente.
That is correct.
Okay, that's good. Okay, now the other question.
It's not good, but.
Well, that's good that it answers my question. Right? At least I now understand it.
Yeah.
The other thing is you sort of implied that your electric power costs are significantly higher than the costs for other mines. Did I listen to that correctly?
Well, yeah, perhaps I didn't say that correctly. The power costs per kilowatt hour are not higher than for other people.
Okay.
Everybody in Chile right now is in a terrible state there. Mm-hmm. But the power costs as a percentage of total costs for us.
Oh,
it's higher.
Okay,
than in a mining operation.
No, understand. Okay, understand that. Now, the other thing that's concerning me, just reading on Bloomberg this morning, it's suggesting that there might be power rationing in Chile. There's going to be five days with no rain, and et cetera.
Yeah.
Are you more likely to be cut off from power if there's rationing than, say, El Teniente itself?
No, I don't think that, but. But you know, there's definitely, you know, a possibility that that power will have to be managed very carefully, and so I mean, experts have been forecasting now for some time that there could be a power rationing in the amount of up to 5%. So, you know, I would expect if that is going to happen, that during some periods where there is heavy demand and consumption from private households in Santiago, that, you know, there may be some rationing at that point. I mean, the power situation in Chile is really in bad shape. They are going through in the central and southern region. They are going through a drought, which has not been as bad for 50 or 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that on top of the fact that Argentina is absolutely not delivering, you know, any gas from Argentina, which Chile depended on up to 40% of their power requirements before that flow of gas was cut off. So it's really bad, and you can imagine that it will take some time till that is all rectified. The experts are now hoping that this will gradually happen during 2000, toward the end of 2010, 2011, and 2012. So by the end of 2012, everybody is predicting that things should have normalized. And we see that also because we have to renegotiate our power contract, which is running out in 2009, and we have offers on the table which would give us power cost in the 6 to 7 cent range, starting at the end of 2012.
Okay, that's really quite cheap then, getting back to 6 to 7 cents.
Yeah.
So in that situation, then, would you just run your own generators as a backup?
That's right, but you know, I mean, we have to get there first. So I could see for a significant period of time that we will run these generators, full blast for the whole year.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, I sort of did hear that the problem with moving the generators are that the armature windings are so big and so massive that it was awkward to get transportation and to get them up to you.
Well, each one weighs 180 tons,
mm-hmm.
and you can imagine that not all bridges are constructed for that weight.
Right.
I understand that it is the heaviest weight which has been transported in Chile, and so one of the problems was that we depended on a highway which was supposed to be finished a few months ago already, and it hasn't been finished, and we just got special permit to use that highway now, even though it's still not open for general traffic.
Okay, well, that sounds like quite good news. So were they going to be up there by the end of the second quarter?
Well, they should be there by the end of this month.
Okay.
They should be in place on the foundations, and then they will have to be, you know, the whole installation with all the auxiliary equipment and the testing and what have you.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much, Klaus.
Thank you.
Next question is from David Shapiro from Arlington. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys. Just a question. Did you guys ever consider or ever explored purchasing business interruption insurance of any kind?
Yes. And Aurora, you are better able to talk about the details of our insurance policy.
Yeah, we have a business interruption insurance, which at the moment has a coverage for fixed costs borne by the company. There is also available in Chile recently a new product, which is for business interruption insurance covering lost profits, and we are considering the cost benefit of having that protection in place.
I mean, has none of it already kicked in given the strike? I mean, were none of the, I guess, the determinants actionable at all in this quarter? Or
not in this quarter. The key word for the insurance coverage is force majeure, and force majeure basically is sometimes considered an act of God, not a labor strike. So we would be pressed to be able to utilize that protection at this point.
Okay, and there's no thought to getting something a little bit more comprehensive than just force majeure?
Yes, we are exploring that option. As I said, it's a fairly new product
mm-hmm.
that has come out in the market, and we already have a quote for it.
Okay. And then on your byproduct credits, you know, generally they've sort of been running at 82%, you know, if you take your price of moly and the sales of the moly, and then, you know, use an 82% figure. That's pretty much where the byproducts have been running. But for whatever reason, this quarter, they seem particularly low to me, given where the price of moly was. Is there something that happened this quarter that sort of changed that run rate that's been so consistent for the last many quarters?
No, not really. Aurora, is there anything from accounting?
No, there's really nothing. We had some minor negative settlement adjustments in the quarter, and those were not price-related. Those were basically driven by final quantity settlements, so Molly quantity settlements, and by foreign exchange, but those were not significant.
Okay, maybe I'll follow up offline on that.
Okay.
And then on the CapEx remaining for the pumps and the generators, so let's start with the generator. How much of the $14.3 million is left to go?
Let me just give you an...
Aurora, help me out there. I would think that something like $4 million would still have to go.
Yeah, $4.3 million would be left. We have spent basically $10 million up to date, or up to March 31st.
Okay, so there's 4.3 left, and then on the pumps, has that been fully paid for at this point, or
no? You're talking about the high pressure pumps.
That's
for
right.
Extraction. Yeah, no, they haven't.
None of it's been paid for.
There's been some down payment, but Aurora, I don't think that is very significant.
That wouldn't be so significant. Just probably a 15% deposit to keep the order going.
Right.
And the price on those pumps?
The total project cost for that, Aurora, is what?
I would have to go back and check on that, Klaus. Our total, that's one of our major projects in the year for capital expenditures.
Right, right.
Our budget is in the vicinity of
something like $4 or $5 million.
Okay. And then outside of those, I guess, $4 to $5 million buckets, are there any other significant CapEx projects that are going to be needed over the next year or two?
Or
do we get more to a maintenance level after that?
Not significant. With the exception, we will have to assess the power situation again. As we have always said, we are significantly independent,
mm-hmm.
which means that we will be covered for about 80% of our power requirements. And one of the ideas which we are throwing around is whether we buy another smaller unit to make us completely independent.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing which we are discussing.
That was exactly my next question. When you talk about 80% dependent, 80% independent, is that off, let's say, the 43 million or 1,000 kilowatt hours that you're sort of running at for the first quarter, or is that off what the ultimate run rate would be with Kalawez in full production?
It would be the ultimate.
Okay, so in other words, at this point, you'd probably be close to fully independent at the current run rate.
But once Kalawez gets
up and going,
right,
you would only
right,
be 80%
right.
independent.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, that probably seems like a very worthwhile investment.
Yes.
That's very interesting. So even at $120 oil, I just want to confirm this, even at $120 oil, your power costs, you think, would go somewhere below, you know, 15 or 14 cents per kilowatt hour.
Yes.
Wow. That's. How do you guys get the fuel up there? Is that a challenge? I mean, are there going to be potential delivery problems, or is that something that's pretty easily achievable?
Well, we hope not. I mean, there's certainly one of my last visits down to Chile, I had discussions with various people. I mean, the roads in Chile are full of fuel trucks, you know, running all over the place because, I mean, a lot of people have been switching to their or are in the process of switching to their own power supply. And one of our lawyers who is very active in the energy field has told me, you know, he only hopes that there are you know, there's no disaster happening with these fuel trucks, because, you know, that could have a detrimental effect on the delivery. So, no, I mean, you know, these fuel trucks are providing you with the oil. In our case, it's number 6 heavy oil. You know, they have no problem coming directly to the plant site and providing us with the fuel. So, you know, right now we don't see any problems with that.
Okay. And then your cost for production this quarter outside of the fuel, it looks like, you know, the cost outside of fuel looks like it went up from 4 to 6 million. Year over year, that is. What was the reason for that? It's pretty substantial. It's like, a 50% increase in other costs. What was the reason for that?
Well, first of all, it's we did have higher production,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, the production increased by about 20%. So this, of course, requires also higher steel costs, for instance. Steel balls themselves were also not just power were also significantly higher in price than a year ago. Aurora, is there any other item which?
Well, we also have higher costs related to the processing of old tailings. Labor costs are...
Well, yeah, that is due to the higher production.
Mm-hmm.
Labor costs are basically similar to what we had last year, except that we have production bonuses. So at higher levels of production, there is a bonus paid out to the workers.
Yes, but also these are pesos costs, and the pesos has appreciated significantly against the dollar, so there was
maybe some translation.
Yeah, there's there's at least a year ago, or remind me what would have been the exchange rate a year ago. I mean, right now it's about 450, and I'm sure a year ago it was about 550.
Okay.
Yeah, 540 for the quarter, probably.
Yeah.
So there's quite a significant adjustment.
Right,
it's not
right.
A translation.
So all local costs sort of increased by about 20%.
Okay, and then lastly, you know, your share buyback program is largely unused at this point, and I know that expires, I believe, in November. You know, I guess as interested shareholders, you know, we'd be very eager to see you guys complete that by November. What are your thoughts on completing that program?
Michael, how many shares have we bought in the first quarter?
Okay, in the first quarter, we didn't have a lot of activity. We bought 183,000 shares.
Right.
So we're about 90% unused here.
Yeah. And we are considering to buy more.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question or comment. The next question is from Gerard Van Doop from Lannet. Please go ahead.
Just give me a bit of a picture with what you're going to be doing with these specialized pumps. Are they going to be on the dredge out on the tailings pond in order to add flow and new tailings for production when you have a lack of fresh tailings from the mine?
No. These high-pressure pumps are required to give us the pressure on the what is called the monitors, which are the machines which re-slurry the dry tailings which are sitting in these old tailings ponds, so that we first of all that we can loosen these tailings and then make a slurry out of it, which can then flow directly into the milling operations. We are not using for the major part of the extraction of the old tailings dredges, but we are using these high pressure monitoring systems.
Okay, so once
they would operate parallel to the fresh tailings.
Okay. Now, if you have a dip in your fresh tailings, are you able to overcome the flow by this new pumping system?
No, they are independent. The capacity in the tailings channel in the conduction channel is enough to have full production from both sources.
Okay, and you'll have enough water on the tailing ponds in order to service this as well.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from David Shapiro from Arlington. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. One more follow-up. At this point, it's just the pressure pumps that's preventing you from getting into the new stockpile? I thought it used to be...
No, we are in there. We are in there, but to increase production from there.
Right. I thought there was some other issues regarding politically sensitive in nature, perhaps. But you're saying that basically it's just the pumps and the technology at this point preventing you from going to the 45,000 target?
You are perfectly correct. We also had discussions or continue to have discussions with El Teniente to make sure that everything will be done safely, environmentally correct, and so on and so on. And we had been in discussions for a long time. We did a lot of studies on it, and all these studies were submitted to El Teniente. El Teniente has come back to us and accepted these studies now, and the process where we are right now is that there are three or four areas of which require monitoring, and there is a working group consisting of our people and El Teniente people who are meeting at this point and have been meeting since and had meetings since about 2 weeks to discuss and devise a clear monitoring system for these questions which were raised. But in principle, there is no objection anymore from El Teniente to go up to the 45,000.
So that's a pretty significant change from the last quarter or two. This is a
positive change. Yes.
Okay. Very good. And then the maintenance capex at the plant at this point, or maybe let's say once you have your generators and your pumps in place by the end of this year, you know, where's the maintenance capex level at that point in time, approximately?
I would say maintenance is sort of in the $3 to $4 million.
Okay, that's pretty low. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Kuta. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for attending. We look forward to hopefully continued success in Q2. Thank you.
The conference call has now ended. Please disconnect your line, and thank you for your participation.